are back with more Food Talk STL with David Craig and his guests on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com.
We're broadcasting from the Bomarito Automotive Group Studios here at 590. Our producer, Matt Grover, he's got his St. Louis Blues colors on today. Yes, hockey is back tonight. Finally, I didn't think they were going to do it. I thought they were just going to, Gary Bettman was just going to say, screw it, we're not going to play any hockey this year. But we're back. Okay, and my guest in studio, we're doing a panel show today, Ian Frobe from RFT.
Hello.
Got a review of Mia Sorello out in Baldwin, Chesterfield Town and Country, wherever, somewhere out on Clayton Road out west at Henry. And it was kind of, you generally liked it, but you had some quibbles.
A few quibbles, but...
You really liked the one the week before, the Thai place called Fork and Sticks?
Yes, Fork and Sticks on the eastern end of the Del Mar Loop. Has some northern Thai dishes. Most of the Thai food we see in America, or in St. Louis especially, is southern, around the Bangkok area, sort of red curries, green curries, that kind of thing. This has some stuff from northern Thailand I had never seen before anywhere, and it's amazing. Tiny little place, well worth seeking out.
And you gave them a rave.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of the most amazing, just in terms of new and distinctive, and you know, it's a small place, one server, who's also, I think, part of the family who owns it. So it's not fancy, but it's just some amazing different food.
And Bryce Donnelly, who is a local food and beverage enthusiast and very active on Twitter at AmuseDouche11.
Yes, sir.
and you interact with a lot of local restaurant personnel and chefs and all of that, and you know, they respond to you.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to going into Fork and Sticks, and I think you can BYOB there, and if that's possible, I will definitely do so.
And Karen Dugan, who's also on Twitter at STL Veg Girl,
yep,
and is a local vegan nutritional counselor and
enthusiast as well.
And you work with people on a one-to-one basis, as well as things like at Whole Foods and Dierbergs and such.
Absolutely, yeah. So I do classes, one-on-one counseling, and usually that turns into a private cooking class in their house.
And do you have regular spots on Channel 4 and Channel 2, or do those just kind of come up at random?
No, this year I also have, I have regular spots on Great Day St. Louis and Show Me St. Louis, and then Fox is every 3-4 weeks or so.
Good. Okay, so if you haven't seen Karen on TV, it's CarynDuggan, or you can, you know, if you do a video search on Google, I'm sure you can get one of your video segments there if somebody wanted to see them.
They are out there, yes.
Okay, Christmas was, it seems like it was a long time ago, but it was just less than a month ago, and a lot of people give food-related stuff at Christmas time. My mother-in-law actually got a Hickory Farms gift pack, and there's some great Chipotle sauce in the thing. I mean, it's really good stuff. I don't know that she got the classic Hickory Farm summer sausage that they give you samples of in the mall all during the holidays. We had some friends who used to send us this huge Harry and David gift box every Christmas. That was pretty good stuff. And my daughter, we gave her some Starbucks gift cards. How about you, Bryce? What'd you get for Christmas this year, food-related?
Well, and we do kind of a Harry and David box, only we just, my wife and I go around and get, for our parents, local, like, we'll go to Cacao or, you know, try to get local meat, local food. I did a bunch of meat from Max, local buys, and put it all together. And that's sort of what we give out.
Great idea.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm sure I'm not the first one. I received a V60 coffee pour over situation for Christmas, which is just another thing for me to dork out on. basically, if you go to Sump or Caldi's, it's the ceramic thing that they put a filter and coffee in over some sort of glass pitcher, and you have to use a long-necked teapot kind of thing to do it. And the people at Caldi's were nice enough to let me go to the roastery after a cupping there. And they spent an hour and a half with me just going over all the science and
wow,
all the basics behind so that I could do this at home. because if somebody just gives the thing to you, it needs a little bit more explanation.
Is that what's in your mug there that you brought?
No, I didn't have time. It is sort of my Saturday-Sunday coffee situation because that's when I have time. But, no, I went over to Foundation Grounds and sort of went that route today.
Their coffee's good. How about you, Ian? Did you get anything food-related for Christmas?
My wonderful wife got me, when I was a child, a teenager, a sad, lonely teenager, I was a big Star Trek fan, and my wife got me a pizza wheel that is in the shape of the USS Enterprise.
yes!
It is awesome. That is awesome. It is a glorious creation. I'm actually afraid to use it on any pizza. It is so beautiful. So that was nice, and my parents sent me a Baltimore Ravens apron, which perhaps I shall wear while preparing some snacks tomorrow.
Very good. How about you, Karen? Anything good? Did you give or receive any food-related goodies this year?
We went to Caldi's, and they had these awesome boxes this year full of different teas, coffees, cups, all that kind of stuff. Gave that to my sister and brother-in-law, and received a gift certificate from E. Fratellini, a gift certificate from Frida's, which I love. It's mostly new vegan joint in U City, kind of by our house. But, you know, I don't use a whole lot of gadgets. I mean, I have my favorite knife. I have my favorite cutting board. Mm-hmm. I use a Vitamix, which is like a high-powered professional blender, and my food processor a lot. So I don't have a whole lot of, you know, little things that I use on a daily basis. But I did receive an iPad mini for Christmas. And I will sit there in bed at night and just go through different cooking videos or nutritional videos and kind of get up on all my, you know, education that I sometimes feel like I'm left, you know, that I leave behind. So I love that little iPad mini.
Well, I haven't gotten a tablet yet, but I know so many people who have and didn't realize how different it is from a laptop, because it is, I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, you mm-hmm. think a laptop's not that big and, you know, you can carry it anywhere, but those things are just tiny. And even with the mini now, they're even smaller. Okay, panel, the Vanity Fair article, it's people basically complaining about paying a lot of money and going to these places. The article is titled Tyranny, It's What's for Dinner, and I don't know, do you kind of want to mention what the gist of that article is for people?
Basically, the author, who is a very respected food writer. I enjoyed his work greatly over the years. He is complaining about the trend in high-end dining in the U.S. and elsewhere, but obviously for his article, mostly in the United States, of the top chefs basically only doing tasting menus, 8, 12, even 20 courses, usually very small portions that are completely at their discretion, not yours as the diner. And it's usually meant to showcase the kitchen's vast array of talents and to sort of, you know, at the highest peak tell a story or, you know, follow themes.
And uber creativity.
Right. I mean, you know, if you have somebody like Grant Achatson in Chicago who will, you know, it's just one thing is sort of a can you top this sort of thing after another. His gist is that it is too much. It is about ego, the chef's ego, not about the consumer's, the diner's experience, you know, their joy. It's an interesting argument. I think we should all be so fortunate to have a problem where we're forced to eat tasting menu, high-end, four-star restaurants all the time.
Mm-hmm,
I think if you are a New York City expense account diner, you might encounter this problem in your life.
Well, you reviewed Little Country Gentlemen, didn't you? And that's a similar situation,
right.
But
it's a choice. It's a choice. And it is. When I had it, it was an extensive, the grand tasting menu, as Michael Randolph and his crew call it. I lost count of how many courses, counting all the little side courses and such there were. I think it was like 14 courses. Plus, they offer you a cheeseburger at the end if you're still hungry.
No.
which I thought was hilarious, but also turned my stomach because I was just had 14 courses.
Yes.
You know, I think, yeah, I mean, if you're of the sort of upper echelon who can travel and eat at all these restaurants and you get tired of it, that's one thing. But frankly, I would love to have that problem in St. Louis.
Okay, Karen, your thoughts. Now, being a vegan, you've probably found a lot of restaurateurs who are happy to accommodate you, no?
Oh, no, you're correct. And it's, you know, over the last 4 years, well, I've been a vegan or on a plant-based diet for the last 4.5 years. And when I first started down this road, you know, we would go out to eat and I'd say, you know, do you have anything on the menu that's vegan? I'm vegan, I'm plant-based, whatever. People would look at me like I was nuts. You know, yeah, true, they still do, but for different reasons. So, people have really come, restaurants have come a really, really long way in St. Louis, and I'm so proud that I feel like, you know, I can go just about anywhere. And reading this article, I thought, you know, kind of on the same basis what Ian was saying, you know, I wish we did have this problem here in St. Louis. I think it's really neat, but also, I don't think people really should complain about it because nobody's taking you in shackles in these restaurants.
Right, right.
You know, you're going there on your own free will. If you want to put $400 down, you know, at per se in New York or hopefully someday something like that here, then do it. My goodness, absolutely. Let's have that choice. But also, to that note, I feel like sometimes I have to do that anyway because I will not, well, I guess somewhat regularly, go into a restaurant. And number one, I always try to give a heads up that I'm coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I'm there for the experience of the food as well. So sure. I will say to the server a request, you know, and say, you know what, whatever the chef wants to give me is fine. So that's kind of my own little tasting menu, if you will. And I enjoy it. I really, that's why I go out for the experience.
And I would think most chefs and cooks, it's like, okay, yeah, let's do something like that. Bryce, you read the article. What did you think about that thing that that guy wrote?
Well, I mean, I've studied economics for a very long time. It's like my other love with the food and beverage thing. And if there's a market for it and people are going, like Karen said, they're not being shackled. They're not forced in there. We live in the age of Google. If you don't know the price points and much of the menu before you walk in,
mm-hmm.
you know, why not? Somebody in your party has a smartphone. If you're surprised when you sit down, then that's – you're a fool. You know, don't be surprised. You know, I am always checking before I go to eat somewhere because, one, I don't want to walk in something that I can't maybe afford that day, you know. And, you know, at the same time also – you know, we went to Stone Soup Cottage and sat down and had a fantastic meal. There was one thing my wife didn't think she was going to like, but she loved it. And there was one thing she took a bite of and just left the rest of her plate. No one says you have to finish it, you know, but it's all part of the experience. So,
And I do think one argument that, and I can't remember if this was in the original article or one of the many responses to it. I think one valid argument is that it's not for every chef or restaurant.
Right.
And I think a chef, an ambitious chef, you know, you should applaud the ambition, but you if you're going to give me 8, 10, 12 courses, you better have refined those courses. They better be really, really great. And I think that the risk that every chef who opens a restaurant, especially young chefs, thinks that he or she has to aspire to this format, that is a little dangerous, I think. I think, you know, we have to get away from this sort of sense that chefs, you know, have to immediately try to be the next Thomas Keller.
Well, and what I did really like about the article is he briefly mentions, you know, people trying to use the technique and not having kind of the basic
right.
culinary skills. And the same, there's been articles passed around in the cocktail world too recently with the same thing. You know, people are trying to be aviary in Chicago and they don't know how to make a gimlet.
Mm-hmm.
And the other night on Parks and Recreation, there was a really clever skit where they went somewhere and, you know, a guy's putting hand lotion, orders a scotch, and, you know, the person comes up with hand lotion and rubs it on, and that was his scotch drink. You know, it's getting absurd when they don't know, you know, they don't know the basics and they're trying to jump, you know, put forward too quickly.
That's not a show I usually watch, but I did see that, and it was... It was actually very, very hilarious. Okay, and another thing, too, if you're a restaurateur like a Grant Achatz or a Thomas Keller, if you know exactly how many people you're going to serve and exactly what you're going to serve when you're ordering from your purveyors, you can order better stuff than mm-hmm. if you're a restaurateur who's, you know, tonight we might have 60 people, we might have 120. And some of them may want the fish, and some of them may want the lamb. And how many pieces of fish do we need? And, you know, and there's going to be waste at the end. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot to be said. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your opinions on that. We're going to take a break. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about a few other just random thoughts here with Ian Frobe from the RFT, Bryce Donnelly, who is a local food and beverage enthusiast, and Karen Dugan, STL Veg Girl.